buckle up.
Here we go.
Because the run home just got a little bumpier. Rush, rush, rush.
You cannot be serious.
I've got to see you every friggin' week.
There's got to be an investigation into this.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour with MG.
The only place in the world where you will get the round one tips for the 2022 NRL season.
I've got my crystal ball, and we're going to predict this first round. The fixtures are out, and there's some bottlers.
There is, and we are going to put it on UMG as the expert to tell us the winners for round 22. I don't even think you can register for your tipping comps yet, but we're going to do
it. As you said, the first and only place in the world who predicts the first round of NRL next year. We're not hanging out for it or anything.
No. Brad Haddin's going to join us. But it's cricket season, and speaking of cricket, Brad Haddin is going to join us because Warnie, Shane Keith, has unloaded on the Aussie test team, thinks everyone's getting a little bit far ahead of themselves, ahead of the Ashes series. And, of course, we have our must-win game against Bangladesh tonight in the T20 World Cup. I'm a little bit concerned for Aussie cricket.
Are you really?
I don't know. Warnie's in my head.
I'm not concerned about T20.
I feel like Daryl Cullinan down the end. But Warnie's all in my head. I don't know what to do. He's got in my brain.
He's in a lot of people's heads.
Yeah, and DMs as well.
Yeah. Sliding, isn't it?
Come on,
Shane. Sliding these days?
Yeah, sliding in. But, of course, it is NRL free agency frenzy, although, frankly, it's NRL free agency physic because it's been anything but exciting, MD. Nothing's happened yet.
Thank God for Brendan Smith. Otherwise, this offseason is a dull as a wet day.
Well, there's only one man to blame for this, quite frankly, and let's get to him.
Mail.
The glue that holds the Triple M NRL family together. Brent Reed from News Corp. Reedy, come on. It's Thursday. This free agency frenzy was meant to kick off on Monday, and yet here we are still twiddling our thumbs waiting for some contracts to get signed.
I know. There's been no real... Cody Walker aside, and that happened on Monday. There hasn't really been any huge signings. So it must... It's simmering in the background. There's something coming soon, I imagine.
It's looking like being an absolute fizzer, MG.
What would you put that down to, Rudy? Obviously, we knew that it wasn't going to happen on November 1, but now November 4. You'd think that maybe something will maybe escalate next week, I suppose, or over the weekend.
Yeah, look, I think some things are bubbling along, MG. You know, obviously Joey Manu and the Roosters, we've seen. That's sort of kicked up a gear. It looks like he'll probably stay there now. I think there's obviously some moves going on behind the scenes with blokes like Nia Kore and Reid Marnie and Clint Gutherson, but I just think they're pretty complex because, I think their current clubs want to keep them. So they've obviously got to go to the other clubs, get the lay of the land, get their offers on the table, and then go back to their current clubs and give them a chance. So, I expect in the next week, we'll see some action.
Well, can you let all the clubs know next time you speak to them that we've got a radio show that we need to put together each day and when they're all being, confidential about these dealings, it makes it hard.
It's called content. We need it. Yeah. Come on, let's bring it to the table,
Hey, Reedy, give us the latest on Luke Brooks because...
Well, this has bubbled up again, hasn't it? I mean, Timmy Sheens came out. Timmy's still in England. He came out the other week and said Luke Brooks is going nowhere, but obviously it bubbled up again in the past couple of days, and it's been sort of quietly simmering behind the scenes, the talk that maybe Brooks, Newcastle is still keen on Brooks and he might go there as a replacement for Mitchell Pearce. Now, Tim Sheens gets in the country on Sunday. He lands on Sunday. He'll be at Tigers headquarters on Monday, and this is his first order of business. I mean, he needs to, either stop this flat in his tracks or, create a window there. But there's some factors that are at play, and one is, the Tigers, obviously, Moses and Byers gone. Billy Walters is gone. And Adam Dewey did that knee at the end of last year. Now, Adam Dewey, because it's the second time he's done that knee, his progress is really slow. It's quite delayed. He won't be back the same now until round 14 next year, Adam Dewey.
Wow, so that's a blow.
If the Tigers let Luke Brooks go, there's a real lack of depth in the halves. And there's not a lot of halves out there. You think about Newcastle, they're letting Mitch Pearce, that deal will be done at some point soon enough. They basically can't find a replacement for Mitchell Pearce. That's why the Brooks thing is getting mentioned. So if they let Brooks go, the Tigers, where are they going to get a half from? So
that's a good point.
I think it's an issue that people haven't really looked at. They don't have the depth there that they had 12 months ago. They've signed Tyrone Peachy. They're looking at him as a 13/utility, not as a 6. I mean, Jackson Hastings is coming to the club. But beyond him, there's not a lot of depth in the halves there for the Tigers. So I would imagine, you know, Tim's obviously come out publicly and said he's really reluctant. He will not let Luke Brooks go. Michael Maguire, I think, is really reluctant to let Luke Brooks go as well because, you know, he's fighting for his future. And if he doesn't have a half next year, Jackson Hastings aside, what's he going to do? How's he going to win a game? So there's a lot of factors at play here. And I think it's going to be the first order of business for Tim Sheens when he puts his feet under the desk on Monday morning at Tigers HQ.
You get the feeling that he's really getting itchy feet, don't you? He's really looking at his options, Luke Brooks, and he's thinking, okay, do I want another year or two here doing what I've done, being the whipping boy again, or do I want to go somewhere where it's a fresh start? And I can't blame him for that. He's, you know, even though he got their Player of the Year award, I still think every time he plays in that West Tigers jersey, he's the man most likely under the pump.
I think it's probably more realistic to think he might go the year after, you know, because then, you know, it gives Dewey a chance to come back, gives the Tigers a chance to maybe go to the market, get a Dylan Brown or someone like that. And then maybe you could see Brooks leave the year after. But, I mean, that won't appease Newcastle. And they let Mitch Pearce go, and they need a half as well. So, you know, it's going to be a long – I think it's going to play out over the off-season, the half situations at those two clubs.
Speaking of fresh starts, the calendar has been leaked. The fixture for next year's season has been leaked. And you've got one that we should be penciling, highlighting in the calendar already.
Yes, round 9. I mentioned Jackson Hastings before. Now, if you remember, Jackson Hastings, his departure from Manly, it wasn't exactly seamless. It was pretty messy. I mean, they went out in Gladstone. There was talk about a blue with DCE, and Jackson Hastings got dumped to reserve grade or banished to reserve grade, and then soon enough he was out of the club. Well, Jackson Hastings, the West Tigers, will play Manly in round 9. That will be must-see television. Jackson Hastings up against DCE and the Seagulls.
Oh, MG, when was the last time a halves, you know, the halves got physical with one another?
Well, by all accounts, this was a pretty
probably
nasty
Gladstone.
Incident.
Probably Gladstone.
3 or 4 years ago. And a lot of water's gone on the bridge since then. And young Jackson Hastings, he's the man of steel in England. He's come of age and he wants to come back and make a statement. This is a good game to watch.
Okay.
I'm going to see a couple of halves punch on.
Oh, it'd be awesome.
I've heard DC can throw him, actually. I've heard he goes all right, DC.
Really? I'm starting to think everyone thinks they can throw him. I think if you just tell people you can throw him, no one ever calls you on
it. In the modern day, you'll never find out.
No, exactly. No, MG, true. I can throw him. I can throw him.
You can.
I can. Yeah. Don't come into the
Don't
office and try me.
Mate,
yeah, no.
You'll find out firsthand, right?
Hey, quickly, Reddy, before we let you go, Brandon Smith, we spoke about it earlier in the week. Four offers on the table. We know that the Dolphins, Titans and Cowboys plus the Melbourne Storm, but are there any Sydney clubs into it?
Well, the Roosters have been linked with him as well. There are clubs having a look at Brandon Smith, but it's an interesting little situation here that's caused the whole process to be delayed. One of the clubs that were interested in Brandon Smith, the email server crashed this week, so they actually couldn't get their offer in. So it had to be put back for a day or two while they rejig their computer system. So I believe it's up and running now. So whoever that was, pay your bills, please. Get your internet provider going. And I'd expect the decision from Brandon Smith, or at least he'll have all the offers on the table at some stage this week, probably the next day or two. And at some point next week, he'll sit down with Melbourne and we'll have some formal resolution. But look, it's going to be hard for Melbourne because, you know, obviously they've said they want to keep Cameron Munster. If you look at their spine alone, they've got Papenhuis an upgraded contract. He's on around the 800. Jerome Hughes upgraded contract. He's around the 800. Munster's on a mil or so next year. And Harry Grant, they've taken up his option. He's around the $500,000-$600,000 mark. So when you look at that spine and the other players they've got at the club, and clubs have come in for Brandon Smith around the 800 or more, it's going to be really hard for Melbourne to keep Brandon Smith, I think.
I'd love to see him stay there. I know he won't be, but I'd love to see him stay there. But I think we spoke about it on earlier in the week, and I think Titans are the team most likely to get him. I think that putting everything on the table, you know, the Dolphins are going to be a slow burn. I think, you know, the Cowboys, they've got Robson up there, and I think the Titans are just waiting for a player like, you know, Brandon Smith to join them to go to the next level.
My gut feel is the Roosters. I think the Roosters are probably the favourites for him. I think I think the Dogs and the Titans are probably level pegging for second spot. But I reckon the Roosters are the Smokies and all this.
If the Sydney Roosters get Brandon Smith, 15 other teams will tear that Sydney Football Stadium down. I know it's just been rebuilt, but if the Roosters land Brandon Smith, they will tear the joint down, MG. They will tear it down.
Well, they've got to get their Wi-Fi fixed first. So they can turn the...
Well, Liam, can I say, with due respect to the Roosters, they have had some big retirements in the last year or so. And again, if you look at their spine, Sammy Walker and Sam Verrills are not a lot of money. So, I actually think they've got money up their sleeve. I think they're in a pretty good position, the Roosters. It looks like they're going to keep Joey Manu. He's going to chew up a fair bit of that. But I think they'd still have legitimate room for Brandon Smith.
I'm glad someone's finally defending the Sydney Roosters. They've been doing it tough for a very long time. So I'm glad you've come to their defence.
Just some battlers.
Oh, they'd be here from hell this year. Give them a break. Come on.
Poor old Uncle Nick. He's let down to his last billion.
All right. Very nice work, Reedy. Enjoy your weekend. Get busy on those phones and pass that message on.
Yeah, yeah.
We need deals done so we got something to talk about on Monday.
We'll give them a hurry up.
MG, you know what it's like as a former professional athlete to have to weigh in on the club that you play for, the code that you used to play. I mean, you've had that experience with what the Panthers are going through with Tyron May at the moment.
Yeah, and sometimes it's a little bit squirmish. It's you've got a job to do, you've got an opinion to have, and you get paid for that. But sometimes you've got to be mindful of the people you're talking about as well.
You might get squirmish. Shane Keith does not get squirmish because he has he's teed off on the Aussie team ahead of this summer's Ashes.
Here's the big thing. No one fears Australia anymore. You know, coming to Australia, everyone used to go, we're going to have to beat our best to even compete. Now they just believe they can beat Australia, every side. So, look, you'd say Australia are favourites, but given their recent form in the last few years here in Australia, we've been beaten by India's C team last year and we were really poor tactically.
No one's scared of us, MG. According to
Warner. Well, tell Hazelwood, Stark, Cummins and Lyon that.
Oh, he had some choice words for some of those bowlers. He thinks Mitchell Stark's nowhere. Tim Payne.
Yeah, he's always had a bit of a beef with Mitchell, hasn't he? They go back a bit.
Let's get to the heart of this. Let's bring in someone who might be able to shed a bit of light on what's going on with Warney and the Aussie team. Friend of the show, he's finally out of quarantine.
Yay.
Brad Haddon. G'day, Hads.
How are you? Boys, firstly, I just got to apologise to all the listeners. I shouldn't be responsible for what I said over the last 2 weeks in quarantine. So I've had my cold beer and I'm back in the land of the living. So, yeah, let's go. Hey,
how'd you were? There were extenuating circumstances where you're locked in a room with no air and coronas and club sandwiches and no exercise. So, mate, mitigating facts. So we know, brother. Mate, Warney's unloaded basically on the Australian cricket team. I know as ex-players we're paid for an opinion, but what do you think what he said about our Aussie cricket team?
Yeah, the one thing that came out of it to me was where he said that we're not feared. And I think that comes from the loss at the Gabba. That's usually a fortress for Australian cricket teams. Teams go there and fear playing at the Gabba. We make life uncomfortable for them with the extra bounce. And I think losing there last year to India the way we did with the players they had out left a bit of a sour taste in guys like all players, actually, the way that performance was.
So, as we look at this Ashes lineup, though, for yours, I mean, as MG mentioned, Josh Hazlewood, Mitchell Stark, Pat Cummins, Nathan Lyon, that's still a fairly fearsome bowling attack.
Yeah, 100%. That is. And they complement each other. But they got a big load, these three. I think we're going to need to find another three quicks to get us through this summer. James Pattinson, it mightn't sound like much on the surface, but for him not to be there now with retiring from international cricket, that's a big loss. We're going to have some young quicks come up because it's a big load going from the 2020 World Cup to play five Ashes tests. We know how physically and emotionally draining that can be. And the bowlers said after last summer where they played all tests that maybe they did need a break. And we need to look at which test to play.
Oh, I like Sean Abbott there, MG. I like the New South Wales. He's bowling
He's one contender, obviously, Liam. What about who else has along the bowling ranks are coming through and are going to push their claims for at least playing one or two tests this summer, do you think?
Yeah, I think you've got to look at it. There's a guy down in Tassie, Riley Meredith. He hasn't played much first-class cricket yet, but he's got a bit of pacing at 150. Got a bit of that white line fever, which I do enjoy in an Ashes campaign. You got Jai Richardson. He's played a bit of international cricket before he dislocated his shoulder. He's on the mend. Nessa from Queensland. Mm. He could play a role in a pink test, I think, with the ball swinging around. So there's some options there to have a look at if these three guys do pull up a bit tired, and we have to look at some other guys for to complement them through the test.
Oh, isn't it? I'm starting to get. It's like when the NRL season's about to start. I'm starting to get the feel. I'm getting the goosebumps as we start to talk about the Ashes more and more.
Trial games are over. The season proper is about to start.
We're still wearing the pajamas though at the moment over in the UAE. Australia taking on Bangladesh tonight. They need to win, and they need to win well this game and their final group game against the West Indies if they've got any chance of getting through to the semi-finals.
Yeah, I think they'll get over Bangladesh pretty easy tonight. I think I'd be very surprised if they didn't go back to the seven batters and four quicks and use Marsh, Stoinis and Maxwell as your fifth bowling option. They're better than just part-time, those three. And I think where the tournament's at now, Australia just got to free up. They've just got to go out and play some really attacking cricket. South Africa a good net run rate, so we've got to win the next two games and win them well. West Indies make me really nervous. They've had a horrible time in this tournament, but they'll enjoy nothing better than knocking Australia out if they get that opportunity in the last game. And they're one of those teams that they've got one good game in them. If they go off, if a Gale goes off, a Purim, a Hetmyer, they've got a team that can really cause an upset. So I think Australia will still go through. I can't see England getting knocked off by South Africa, but the Poms will not do us any favours.
Also, more ordinary news, Hads, for young Will Bukowski as well.
Yeah, it is. It's an interesting one. That one, he's been concussed now 11 times. He's only 23 years of age, and it becomes an issue. It'd be interesting what his family think of. So I know if it was my kid, you'd be having to start to ask a lot of questions. They'll have great support down there. They'll be seeing all the right people. But we're not a collision sport, but if that was someone in rugby league, I'd imagine, MG, it would be a conversation where you've got to give the game away. So let's hope he gets right. But starting to get to a scary stage with that many head knocks at that young age.
Oh, I would have said three or four concussions ago, Hads, that if it was a rugby league player, he would have hung up the boots. And that's what I'm worried about for the young kid, because every time he gets concussed, it's a cricket ball hitting his head. So it's either very, very, very bad luck, or his technique's wanting as far as, you know, ducking out of the way for these balls that are coming at a 140, 150 k's at him. It's a dead set worry, because he's such a prodigy, isn't he?
Mm. Yeah, he is. And I think that one thing, yeah, you're right, he is a prodigy, and he really complements. You got, in this day and age, we've got a lot of 2020 and a lot of white ball cricketers, and Guy chased the fames of IPL, and you can't blame him for that. But he's a test cricketer through and through. He'd suit it in the top of the order or the middle, wherever you played him. So he's got the technique to be a really good test cricketer. But it's going to be an interesting couple of weeks. They say he's back into light training. I don't know what that would look like, whether that's just running around, seeing if he's symptom three, but he's got a lot of support. He'd be seeing the right doctors. They'll take a cautious approach with him, but yeah, it'd be a tough time, I reckon, also for his family to be dealing with all this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who wins the World Cup, T20?
I tell you, I think Pakistan and England are playing good cricket. I tell you what, if Australia can get through to the semis, I think they match up well against Pakistan. I think they can beat them. So that'll be an interesting one. They've just got to get through to the semis. But at the moment, England are playing red hot, and Pakistan are red hot.
And it's going to be a fantastic game tonight. Australia need the win over Bangladesh, so we'll be keeping an eye on that one. And this summer, it's what we're all excited about. The rivalry between Australia and England is set to explode. January 5th to the 9th at the SCG, the Sydney Test, 5th to the 9th of January. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketek, the Vodafone Ashes series. It just means more. We cannot wait for that test match to arrive in Sydney. We can't wait for the Ashes series to get started, and we can't wait for Brad Haddin to be a part of the Triple M's cricket coverage for the summer. Hads, great to hear you're out of quarantine. Great to have you on board the M's for the summer, and go the Aussies tonight.
No worries. Stay safe, boys.
MG, NRL preseason is underway, and you're actually going to walk us through the worst things about an NRL preseason in your power rankings very shortly.
Well, so I'll tell you now, there's more than five, so <there's> more. That's a bugger.
We're going to make you pick five, though. But we're going to, and I think this might be a world first, I think we're going to be the first radio show to predict round one. We're going to tip round one for 2022, because the round's out, MG. The fixture's been leaked.
That's fantastic. The mighty Penny Panthers have played their first home game of the season, I think, on a Thursday. They're opening the season up against maybe the Doggies, I'm pretty sure.
So I don't even think tipping competitions are open for registration yet. But write these tips down, because MG's about to tell you who wins every single game in round one. Kicks off the new season with the Panthers taking on the Seagulls at Bluebet Stadium.
Oh, the Seagulls. Penrith. Penrith will win that one.
Penny I'll Panthers. Bounce.
Mind you, it'll probably be without Nathan Cleary, who's recovering from that shoulder injury. So,
ooh, no Nathan Cleary, and maybe one of either Appy Coruscant or Viliami Kikau not there.
Capewell's gone.
Capewell's gone.
Burton's gone.
Jeez, I'd be tipping. I'm tipping Manly. Manly win that in a canter. They'll be flying. As long as Tommy doesn't have another bathroom accident, they'll smash it.
No, what's your soap?
Friday night, Raiders kick off their season with a home game against the Sharkies. Adam Elliott on board.
Ooh. I expect both these teams to be much improved next year. In particular, the Sharkies. I think the Sharkies are looking good under Fitzgibbon, but I think Ricky Stewart will have his charges primed at home. Be good to see how Jamal Fogarty goes for his new club, and I think the Raiders.
Tough spot to start a season for the Sharks. Real tough.
Luckily, it's not the middle of winter.
Tough road trip there for Craig Fitzgibbon. I'm with you, MJ. I think the Raiders will get up there. I think the siege mentality begins early. And then what about this? I love whoever's put this NRL fixture together. Friday night, prime time, Broncos v Rabbitohs, Suncorp Stadium, Adam Reynolds, the stage is set.
Oh, how good. How good. Well done to the NRL for putting this position in the position it is, because it's mouthwatering. And I think the Broncos will get the money. I think the Broncos may just about make the eight this coming season.
Wow.
Mm.
Wow. I mean, you've got 4 months to change your mind.
Otherwise, Kevy's out of a job if they don't.
Saturday, the three game Saturday starts with Roosters v Knights at the SCG, which will be terrific to see a game played there at the Sydney Cricket Ground.
Roosters.
Yeah. Well, I guess we don't know who the Knights halfback will be at this stage, but you're tipping the Roosters.
Already told us that Luke Brooks could be. Mm-hmm. So let's presume that he's on his way up the M1.
Warriors-Dragons. The Warriors still on the road at this point. The Dragons, the money ball team that Hook Griffin has put together, Sunshine Coast Stadium.
Yeah, obviously the Warriors will be stationed up there this year. Out of Redcliffe, I believe, playing most of the home games there. So Warriors.
Tigers Storm at CommBank Stadium in Parramatta there.
Melbourne.
Yeah. And then two games Sunday, Eels-Titans. Obviously, the Titans will roll over the top of the Eels because Brandon Smith will be playing hooker and Tino
that's
Feeder. And, oh, yeah, you're right. He's still got to play another year at the Storm.
Eels.
No, they won't have any players. No one's going to sign there.
2023 we're talking about. Remember we said 2022 is their window's closing. They need to win a comp next year.
And then Cowboys Bulldogs rounds out the opening round of the 2022 season.
Major upset. Bulldogs.
The Doggies get it done and start a campaign and a charge towards the premiership. I can all see it happening. It is. That is the only radio show in the world that will be tipping you through round one of the 2022 season.
Next
on
week
the 4th
we'll be round
November.
Two.
No, we won't.
No.
Staying in the world of rugby league, MG, and we've seen that clubs are back. Pre-season has begun. We know the Bulldogs are back at it. The Dragons are back at it. And I can only imagine what it must be like. You've had 5-6 weeks off.
Yep.
Straight back into it. Heart rate peaking within the first 10 minutes of the session. You're thinking, why am I doing this?
Those two words together are enough to put a shiver through any retired footballer's body, because it's why most of us retire. When you think to yourself, okay, I'm past 30. I've had a fantastic career, but what else am I going to do? I don't know what else I'm going to do. So, you know what? I'm going to play again. And then you think, oh, we're a month away from preseason training. You know what? Nah, I might call it a day. I'm going to go buy a car wash or something. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to do something. Anything except a preseason, because it's the worst thing in history of a sportsman.
Well, you say it's the worst thing, but I want you to get a bit more specific. So let's do one of these.
Oh. Well, obviously, when you are running these hills and whatever you're running, you get your shirts off like we are now.
Yeah.
So the irony in all this is that you don't do anything with your shirt on, usually in budgie smugglers or a pair of skins or something like that.
So this is the five worst things.
This for mine, the five worst things about pre-season training.
Five.
shin splints.
Oh.
You just can't get rid of them. You can't. They say, have some Aspro. Put your legs up. They say, okay, so do I have a week off? Or no, mate.
No, no, you, no. You'll be back
tomorrow. You can be there at 7 a.m. And you go, well, how can I get rid of the shin splints? Well, you can't. It's about biting down on the mouth guard or having a spoonful of cement and harden up, buddy.
It affects even the professionals at the NRL level. Okay.
Sure. The heat, especially when I was in my prime as a rugby league player, it was in the heart of Penrith, which on a nice day in summer was somewhere between 35 and 44 degrees.
That's too hot.
When you're training. So you can't avoid it, but you just cannot avoid it. And when we trained, there was an oval outside of Penrith Park back in the day, and there was kind of a sewage plant there. So on a boiling hot day at 40 degrees, you'd be doing 200s on the clock, and you'd have a whiff at the end of it, and you go, come on, man, can't we train somewhere else?
3.
Oh, definitely the night before, thinking about what lays ahead, because the trainers, God love them, never told you what was in store. What's tomorrow, mate? Oh, you'll find out when you get the training. So you lay there, you toss, you turn. Is it a time trial? Is it hill sprints? Is it, you know, is it wrestling? Is it boxing? Is it this? Is it that? You can't sleep. And then all of a sudden the alarm goes off at 6 a.m. and you're up and at them. You go, oh, man, what's going on here?
And the likes of Hayden Knowles at the Panthers, and I imagine the head of performance at other clubs, I get the sense they love it. They love that torture.
It's their sweet spot. To see the faces of athletes just squirming the night before, they'd love it. They'd love seeing people in their bed going, what's going on?
2.
You'd pull up in your car and you look out in the field and you see witch's hat after witch's hat after witch's hat after witch's hat after hurdle hops after hurdle hops after tackle bag after tackle bag. And you go, oh no, my worst fears have been realised. We are getting flogged today. And that very person you speak of, Liam, the trainer, is standing there with his whistle around his neck with a big, big smile on his dial. Go, hello, boys.
Yeah, I imagine that at some point in your career, you were able to turn up, get out of the car, have one look at the field and go, I know exactly what we're doing here and this is going to be awful.
Yes. Obviously, depending on what trainer you had, but when I was at Penrith in the early 90s, we had the same trainer for a few years, and every time you'd rock up the pre-season training, you'd see a certain grid. You'd know that was pain. You'd see another grid. You'd see hats. You'd see tackle bags. You'd see medicine balls. It was just so hard. It was so, so hard. And that was, for mine, the second hardest thing about pre-season training.
This is MG's Power Rankings. Power Ranking, the 5 hardest things about an NRL pre-season. We had shin splints at 5, the heat at 4, night before at 3, witches' hats and the grid set up at 2.
1.
Okay, we've finished the session. We're all feeling good. But then the coach comes out. In this case, feel good with his whistle. Boys, a few penalties. Oh. I was watching. A couple of you didn't make the times. We've just trained for 2.5 hours. Our ass is hanging out of our shorts. We say, who didn't make it? He goes, them 2. And he just points to the sky. So Gus had this drill. We'd all line up on the in-goal line and we'd go down the field. And every time we'd blow the whistle, you'd have to hit the deck and put your arms and legs flat on the ground. And then you blow it again, you have to get up and run. He'd blow it, he'd go, dip, 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 dip. So, and it was so hard. I reckon he'd blow the whistle in one lap about 50 times.
Nah.
Oh, they were for penalties. They were the penalties. And we knew they were coming.
Well, man. MG, those days are behind you. But thoughts and prayers with all the NRL players having to go through those preseason sessions.
I feel your pain, boys.
Hey, we got to get out of here. Tomorrow on the show, V8 Supercar Series leader Shane Van Gisbergen is going to be on the show, MG, on obviously the news of David Reynolds' unavailability, potentially for Bathurst. The series is set for a shake-up, but we got to get out of here.
Yeah, can't wait to speak to him. As always, thank you so much for your ears. He's Liam. I'm MG. Wherever you are, stay random.